seemed like last year that I was here on February the 2nd to speak on the year of the horse. So we are going to say goodbye to the year of the horse and to welcome the year of the sheep this year. However, some people call it the year of the sheep, but other people may even call it the year of the lamb. And in a certain way, the lamb is very cute and cuddly, so perhaps some of the sisters would like it to be the year of the lamb. But then perhaps some of the men would like it to be called the year of the goat, more aggressive, and it can gallop in for this year 2015. But of course, there is the more aggressive one, which is the year of the ram. Well, whatever it is, whether we call it the year of the sheep, the year of the lamb, or the year of the goat, or the year of the ram, I'm going to combine all these animals together, and we shall have a Bible study of this. What I'm going to do now is, in this study of the year of the sheep, so-called, to combine these four animals and see how they reveal the program of God's redemption. By the way, this is completely a new study, although I would have done the study of the year of the sheep for at least 30 years already, in taking the whole cycle of 12 years. So this would be the third time. However, still, this is a complete study that those of you have heard the year of the sheep from me 12 years ago, you'll find that this is something new. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to combine these four animals together and then see how the program of God's redemption is developed. For example, in the study of the year of the sheep, we shall consider the strayed sinner. Then we shall consider the year of the goat, and we shall consider the substitute sacrifice. After that, we shall study the year of the ram and see the saints' surrender. And finally, the year of the lamb, the Savior sovereign. Now, I have done this study at this particular time, fourth occasion already at Burma Road Gospel Hall. I started with Sungai Nibong in February the 1st, went on to Island Grace Gospel Center, Sungai Ara last week, and after that, of course, we have Chinese New Year, and I always reserve the week, in Chinese New Year week, for Burma Road Gospel Hall every year. All right. Next week, I shall cross over or gallop over to Butterworth. And that's where I shall be at Butterworth Gospel Hall on March the 1st and shall finish this whole series at BM Gospel Center. Now, let's see what we can learn about this year of the sheep. Well, this year of the sheep commences from February 19 and it concludes on February the 7th next year. So next year, February 8th, will be a new year. Now, this is the 8th of 12 animals in the zodiac calendar. The first is the rat, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit, the dragon, the snake, the horse, and this year, the goat. Next year is the monkey. And I'll give you a piece of homework because I like to do these Bible studies. And I give you 1 year to do this work. Will you, next year, for next year, look into your Bible, look up the monkey, and prepare a study of the monkey for next year. All right? This is your homework for next year, Lord willing, if I see you again. Be prepared to do a study of half an hour on the monkey from the Bible. That is your homework for next year. Okay, so this is how we get the animal years for our study every year. Now, let's let's start with this study on the year of the sheep. As an introduction, let's consider what the world has to say about the year of the sheep. The year considers this year, a picture of gentleness, because the sheep is ever so gentle, so very gentle and calm, and therefore they expect this year to be very calm. But I doubt it. The last few weeks at the end of the year of the horse were very chaotic. We have the loss of aeroplanes in mid-air, and we have got problems with the political scene, and we saw recently, even at the very beginning of this year of the sheep, over 20 Christians just beheaded and thrown into the sea, and the blood splattered all over. It's very, very, very saddening to see all this. But some people believe that because it is the year of the sheep, it's going to be a good year. And others think that it is a time of creativity, where we shall have a lot of inventions and innovations being seen this year. Others think that this year is definitely going to be a good year, because the sheep is very good to see, beautiful, chomel, so to speak. All right. Now, what about the person born in the year of the sheep? The world thinks that the person born of the year of the sheep is a very good person. His or her strengths. People are tender, polite, clever, and kind-hearted. They have special sensitivity to art and beauty, faith in a certain religion, and a special fondness for quiet living. Wise, gentle, compassionate, and can cope with business cautiously and circumspectly. In their daily life, they try to be economical. Women born in this year, willing to take good care of others, they should avoid pessimism and hesitation. Their kind heart commonly have symmetrical figures and features. Well, I do not want to ask you to put up your hands for those who are born in the year of the sheep. Because when you put up your hands and the others look at you, they will wonder whether you have these characteristics or not. And for all you know, those others born in other years also may have these characteristics. So sheep or cow or horse, whatever it is, they don't mean much. What about their weak points? The weak points. Sheep year people are often warriors who are shy, pessimistic, moody, indecisive, oversensitive, weak-willed, and puzzled about life. Easily inclined to be deeply religious, timid in nature, and like to be looked after by others. They like flattery, compliment, and suggestions from friends. They do not dare to express their love openly and usually have interest in strange theories. Well, this is what you are if you are born in the year of the sheep. So says the world. What says By the way, that was taken from the China guy, the travel China guy. You can look at all these horoscopes and what the stars foretell in the internet. A lot. And you can find that all these forecasts are contradictory to one another. What does the Bible say? And the word does not change. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 14 says this. When you come into the land to Israel, the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through fire, who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, who interprets omens or a sorcerer, who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist, who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. For these nations listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such. So, let us beware. Who are these people? They are those who indulge in horoscopes, fortune telling, what the stars foretell, astrology, even feng shui. And so on. Take care. We are Christians. We do not dwell in these kind of things. Every morning you wake up, don't take up the star paper and then say, what the stars hotel? Take up the word of God and look at what the word of God says. This is a very solemn warning to all who belong to the Lord. All right, now we come to the real study of the word. To do any word study, we take that word and see what the original word really means. Now, the word sheep is translated from different Hebrew words in the Old Testament. Now, because we are not going to do a deep study of it, I shall just tell you this fact, that this word sheep in the Old Testament is translated from many Old Testament Hebrew words. All right, we'll stop there. If you are interested in studying this in greater detail, you can look up my notes, which are in my website. I'll give you the URL afterwards. So, these are the words that are used to translate sheep or lambs in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? New Testament, we have the Greek, and only one word is used, and it is the word probaton. And it is not used for sheep in particular. It is used for any animal that grazes the grass. So, that is used to translate sheep. What is important for us in our study is a symbolism of these animals, the symbolism of sheep. How sheep is used to represent certain people or certain events or certain things. For example, sheep is used for people who are scattered and without leaders. For example, in 1 Kings 22, verse 17, we have two kings, King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. One is the king of Judah, and the other the king, southern kingdom, and the other the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Now, one day, the king of Israel and the king of Judah met together, and they wanted to take back a city that had been in the possession of the Syrian king. And so, the king of Judah met with the king of Israel, and the king of Israel called the so-called prophets and asked them, should we go and attack Syria for the city of Ramoth Gilead? And the prophets said, yes, because they were always very, very supportive of the king. Yes, but they were false prophets. False prophets. Then Jehoshaphat said, no, call the prophet of God. Israel king said, no, the prophet of God always says bad things about me. I do not want him. But Jehoshaphat insisted, and so he called Micaiah, and Micaiah came, and as expected, he prophesied, you go and attack Syria, and Syria will scatter you up in the mountains like sheep without shepherd. That's how sheep is used, of a people without leaders. All right. It is also used of innocent people who are led to slaughter, as Israel later in their period found that they were persecuted, and they referred themselves in Psalm chapter 44 verse 22 as a people who were led to the slaughter, a sheep to the slaughter. So sheep again is used for helpless and helpless people. Then it is used for sinners who are lost. We know the story very well of the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told about the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. All right? So let us study that the occasions where this word sheep is used or is found in greater detail now. The year of the sheep. The straight sinner. Where the sheep represents the straight sinner. Of course, in the past, sheep were not only used for people without leaders, but they were also used as God's people. God, who supported his people, he referred to them as sheep, Psalm 103. And then we know this famous psalm in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the one who protects the sheep. All right? And in the present, the Lord is seeking for straying sheep. There are sinners out among us today, and they are known as sheep, lost sheep. Luke chapter 15. And the Lord sends his servants out because the Lord is no more here. The Lord said he was a shepherd searching after the lost sheep. But he is no more here, so he sends his servants out so that even Peter in John chapter 21 verses 15 to 17, after he was restored, after his backsliding, the Lord said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" Then Peter said, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then feed my lambs, feed my sheep." So these servants of his were asked to go out under his commission to feed the sheep as they have been brought in. And that's why in Acts chapter 20, 28 to 30, we find that Paul gathered the elders to Miletus, the elders of Ephesus to Miletus, and told them, "You are elders, you are pastors, you are shepherds, you need to look after the sheep." Now, as we talk of this, we also note the sheep features in prophecy. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33. "One day, a judgment seat will be set up. This is called the judgment of nations." I think some of you will be studying this, either already passed or in the weeks to come. The judgment of nations. And in that judgment of nations, nations will be gathered together and Christ will judge them as to how they treated the Jews, his people. And so we have the judgment of nations, the sheep and the goats. And this is the first time where sheep and goats are brought in together in contrast to one another. Right. When we talk about the sheep, we must talk of the shepherd. And of course, Jesus is the shepherd. And we read in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "I am the good shepherd. As a good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep." Then again, Jesus is the great shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. He is the great shepherd. And as a great shepherd, he takes care of us. He perfects us in every good work. And for all the elders, he is the chief shepherd. One day he's going to come and he's going to reward all the elders with a crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And so we find Jesus the shepherd. Now we come to goat. We're finished with the sheep, we come up to the goat. Now this study of the goat will show us that the goat is the substitute sacrifice. The first thing we want to know about this is, again, not what the world says, but what the word says about the goat. As I pointed out, in the study of words in the scriptures, we usually find where the word occurs. And again, this word is translated from many Hebrew words. We have no time to consider them. We just leave it for the time being. And in the New Testament, only two words are used to translate the Greek words into goat. All right, that's for our deeper study. Now, when does this word occur, this goat? Where are the occasions where they appear? Right. Let's see again how this word goat is used metaphorically. For example, it is used of the king of the west in prophecy. Daniel saw in a vision a goat and a ram. And in that vision, you will again study this in the coming weeks, of the goat and the ram battling one another. And the goat won the battle. Now, this vision was a prophecy of what would happen years to come when the Grecian Empire will conquer the Medo-Persian Empire. And it really took place in history. So the prophecy was fulfilled. That was the goat. And the little horn here was Alexander the Great, who led the Grecian army to conquer the Medo-Persian Empire. Then it is also used of the judgment of nations, as pointed out to you just now in the study of the sheep. Right, that's a judgment of nations. Now, Another interesting thing is the goat is regarded as a clean animal. In our context and in very simple words, it is halal. Why is an animal halal? It has to fulfill two qualifications. Because an animal that is clean or halal can be eaten and can be used as sacrifice unto the Lord. What are the conditions? One, it must chew the cud. It must chew the cud. That's the first condition. After chewing the cud, it swallows what it grazes. All right, not after chewing the cud, sorry. First, the goat will graze the grass, eats it, swallows it, and then when it has time, it will go under, this is also for a cow, under a tree, and in its shade, it will take up what he has swallowed and then start chewing again to later on to swallow it and digest it. This is called to ruminate. And those of you who have been receiving my ruminations every week, then you know why it's called rumination. The whole idea is for you to look into the Word of God quickly, casually, perhaps at the first glance, and then go out in your work and so on. And in the course of time, perhaps take back what you have been meditating upon, think over these things, and then meditate and ruminate so that it will become part of your life in the course of the day and in the course of the week. And that's why I send you the ruminations, and for which the purpose is that you may think over things as you read the Word of God every week and perhaps even every day. Alright, so second condition is that it must be hoofed. So there are two conditions. The hoof must be split and it must chew the cud. Then the animal can only be used for sacrifice. But there is one goat that we want to pay careful attention to. And this is a scapegoat that is used for the Day of Atonement. Right, let's see what we can learn from it. Firstly, if you read Leviticus chapter 16 concerning the Day of Atonement, you find that, well, it seemed to suggest that there were priests who could, or the high priest even, could enter the Holy of Holies anytime he chose. And there was this occasion when the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, chose to use strange incense to light their incense, the strange fire to light their incense. And God was angry. God struck them dead. What would this strange incense be? Now, God had insisted from the very beginning, after the completion of the tabernacle, that an offering was given on the altar. And God had made it such that fire from the inner tabernacle, Holy of Holies, would shoot forth through the various entrances to light up the sacrifice on the altar. That fire was from God. That fire was not to be extinguished at all. It was to be kept burning all the time. And that fire must always be used for burning the sacrifice and burning the incense. But Nadab and Abihu used strange fire, perhaps fire that was not from the altar, and burned their incense. And this is a lesson for us to learn, that when we want to worship God, let us remember this. We worship God in God's way according to what God tells us to do. We don't worship God according to our way and think God should be worshipped in this way. That strange fire. So it is important that we must always keep to this. So at that time, after the death of these two, God came up with two obstacles that were introduced. No one now could go into the Holy of Holies anytime they like. Only the high priest could enter, and once a year, one day a year, and with sacrifices Alright? Two obstacles. Only the high priest could enter once a year and with offerings. Why the offerings and what were the offerings? The offerings would include two bullocks or two goats. A bullock or two goats. The bullock was an offering for Aaron and his family. And the two goats would be the sin offering for the people. All right? The high priest must give a bullock. More costly, higher rank. Because the higher you are spiritually, the more responsible you are to the Lord. For the other people, the ordinary people, two goats will be sufficient. Well, let's see what happened to these two goats. One goat, another goat. Lots will be drawn for these two goats. One lot that fell upon one goat will be called the Lot's goat. The other goat, Azazel, or we shall call it the scapegoat in English. All right? The scapegoat. Now, what happens is now this. So, two goats. One lot would fall on one goat, and it would be the scapegoat or Azazel, and that scapegoat would be killed, offered on the altar, and the blood would be used for sacrifice. The other goat will be known as the Lot's goat. It won't be killed. So what happened is, this Lot's goat, one goat would be killed, the Lot's goat would be killed. The Lot's goat would be killed. Did I say not killed just now? Sorry, that's my mistake. The Lot's goat would be killed and the blood shed. All right? And the blood shed. And then the blood would be taken by the priest and then would be brought into the Holy of Holies. And then he would sprinkle on the mercy seat. The scapegoat, after the priest had put his hand upon the priest, the goat's head, will be let go free. Of course, this was to indicate the point to the future sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ would be that goat that would be sacrificed, killed, blood shed, blood sprinkled, and then brought into the very presence of God. And because he was holy, God raised him up. And because of his resurrection, he was able to bring to us salvation. Now, this cannot be literally pictured in animal form, because once you kill that one goat, the goat cannot come up again. The goat cannot rise again. And that's why two goats, two in one. In the olden days, they learned the practice of making a picture two in one earlier than today, when we start to use two in one, three in one coffee and tea and so on. All right. So the Lord Jesus Christ would fulfill all this, and he would go into the presence of God once for all and no more to be repeated. One day he went into heaven with his own blood, and he would no more sacrifice himself. Once and for all, he died for us. All right. Now, we are finished with the sheep and the goat. We now come on quickly to the ram. Now, the ram is a very important animal in the scriptures. What does the word say again? The English word, again, is translated from two Hebrew words. We won't talk about it. One is use of ram. The ram is use of people. It's the name of three people. Okay? We won't go into that. Then it is also use of the animal. The animal. And it is used many, many times. Over 250 times. Because the lamb is often used for sacrifices. All right? How does the ram appear in the events in history? Let's look at it. Right. One, the realm of confirmation. This is very interesting. This is the first occurrence of the word realm in Genesis chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. First occurrence. And what happened? Again, you'll be studying this in the weeks to come. Abraham was promised by God that God would bless him, God would make him to a big nation, his seed, his generations would be greatly blessed and so on. And he would be given the land. And Abraham said, Lord, how do I know that these things will be true? How do I know? How can I claim this promise? God said, take with you a she-goat, a heifer, turtle dove, and a pigeon. Now, the ram, the she-goat, heifer, they are big animals. Cut them to two and put the two halves. One half on one side and the half on the other side. But, of course, the turtle dove and the pigeon, too small, they have to be left alone. And God allowed Abraham to sleep for that night. And in that night, he saw a vision. And in that vision, he saw a pot, smoking fire pot, coming through the two halves of the animals. He also saw a smoking torch coming through. What does that mean? It means just this. For the culture at that time, it would mean that if anyone walks through the two halves of an animal, then the two parties would affirm that whatever contract they have made between the two, they will be kept. Alright? So, but in this case here, the smoking pot and the flaming torch, they do not represent Abraham. They represent God. And they represent God walking through. Only God walking through. In other words, God is making a promise to Abraham. What I have promised you is unilateral and unconditional. Only I and I alone will walk through. You don't have to walk. Whatever happens, I will keep my promise. So it's the confirmation of the covenant to Abraham. Now, let's see the role of the ram. This one is very common. You know it very well. He took the place of Isaac, who was supposed to be sacrificed, and instead, it was sacrificed. All right, it was God's provision of a substitute. So, since you know this story very well, I will just leave it. But one thing you'd like to note, that Abraham's son Isaac was spared. But Romans 8:32, we read, God's son was not spared. God delivered him up for us all. That's how much God loved us. All right, the ram was also used in many sacrifices. For example, it's mentioned in the trespass offering. It's mentioned in the peace offering. It's mentioned in the ram of atonement. And it's also the ram for the burnt offering for consecration. Now, I'd like you to note, please, like in the Day of Atonement, there were the sacrifices of the two goats for the sin offering, followed by a ram for a burnt offering. Sin offering should be followed by a burnt offering. What happens is this. Many of us have been saved by the sin offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do not bother to surrender our lives to the Lord. We have not brought our ram offering. The ram is important. The ram is the burning of that sacrifice. It is the fulfillment of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable worship. That is your burnt offering. It's the surrendering of yourself to God. And here we find again the ram used this time in addition to the surrender of sanctification of your life to the Lord, but this time for special service. And it is called the ram of consecration. Now, let's see what happens. The sin offering, I told you, the priest must bring for a bullock. the burnt offering of a ram to indicate that he would surrender himself. But now it would be the ram of consecration to show that he has been selected, called to do a special service for him. And in this case, to be a priest, to serve in the sanctuary. All right. Firstly, he had to take the ram and put his hand on the ram's head to identify himself with the ram. The ram's innocent. The ram was supposed to be clean, spotless, and without blemish. Now, he will take upon the ram's merit upon himself. It's just like ourselves, laying our hands upon the Lord, who is spotless and clean, and we take the Lord's merit upon ourselves to identify ourselves with the sacrifice. And so, with that, the second step, the ram will be killed, and the blood of the ram would then be applied. Let's see how it's applied. If applied, Moses would take the blood, and he would touch the very right ear, the tip of the right ear of the priest. He would take the blood again. He would touch the very thumb of his right hand. He would take the blood again, and he would touch the right toe of the right foot. Why the ear? To show that this man now is committed to listen to God's word and to obey it. Why the thumb, right thumb, to show that he is now committed to do the work of God. Right toe, to indicate that he must now walk the work of God. And so that is this consecration. That's what is meant, consecration. Consecration to a special service to be done for the Lord. So, salvation, by all means, all of you here are saved. Have you taken the step of surrendering yourself to the Lord? That is the ram, the burnt offering. But you must go further to obey what the Lord has called you to do. And that is the ram of consecration. So, we need to take these three stages in order to be what the Lord wants us to be. So, the last occurrence of the word ram is found in Daniel chapter 8, verses 20, 21, and it has to do with the vision that Daniel saw. So we can skip that. It was fulfilled, the prophecy was fulfilled in history, and it shows how true it is, that prophecy is. Finally, Micah chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, we see the last occurrence of the rams. Just now it was the last occurrence of the word ram, singular. Now it's plural. And in Micah 6, 7 and 8, it says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? If you sacrifice thousands of rams just for the sake of outward ritual, no use. Oh man, what is good? What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? What God wants, not the outward ritual, but the inward obedience to his word. So, what God requires beyond the offering of rams will be for this Chinese New Year of the ram, the goat, or the sheep, whatever it may be, is a life that exhibits ethics and not externals. Micah 6, 7, 8. To be what he wants us to be, not just in form, but in heart. Commits the person to practice. Be blessed. James 1:22. Be not only listeners, but be doers of the word, and you will be blessed. James 1:25. Submits in obedience and not ostentation. Like 1 Samuel 15:22. Saul said he had obeyed God. Samuel said to him, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, because he had saved behind certain things for his own purpose. He did not sacrifice all as God asked him to. He kept back a bit. And Samuel told him, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. You know, like many of us here in our Christian life, we do a lot of things, but we keep back certain things we will not do. Now, God says, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Finally, the year of the Lamb. Now, we have been meditating on the Lamb just now, so it's just nice. The Lamb was led to the slaughter. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. He was that Lamb slain for us. And he was that Lamb that was delivered to cruel hands to be crucified and killed. That Lamb that has been slaughtered, that has been slain, one day will sit on the throne and we shall cry out, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Oh, how wonderful. And that's God's plan of redemption, right through. When at the ultimate end of it all, we shall, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And only wish I could hear that "Amen" from all of you here. Join them and say "Amen" for what he is. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So, blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. People are afraid to use the word, Christians are afraid to use the word prosperity, because they say prosperity is associated with pagan worship and so on, pagan ideas. I'm going to use the word prosperity. I'm not going to use the word prosperity on you. I'm going to use the God of prosperity. That is worse. Because how can you be calling upon the God of prosperity, which the Chinese people worship and so on? Well, I'm going to call upon my God of prosperity to bless all of you this Chinese New Year in your walk. And those of you who have not chosen a wife yet, the Lord of prosperity prosper you with a wife. This year, good year. The Lord of prosperity prosper you with a husband. Good year, this year. This year, Bumborough Hall is going to be very well used. It has already been booked for a number of marriages, but it can still take some more. The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son. Abraham telling his steward to find a wife for his son. Prosper thy way. The Lord of prosperity may prosper you in your work. The Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph in the home of Potiphar's wife. Genesis 39:23. God may prosper you in your ways. The Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And finally, the Lord prosper you in his word. To Joshua, Moses said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Any offense when I bless you with the God of prosperity? Hope not. This is the prosperity I am talking about. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So a blessed Chinese New Year to all. May the Lord bless and prosper you in this year of the sheep. And what it reminds you of in our study, in the year of the goat, or in the year of the ram. May the Lord bless all of you this Chinese New Year from me and my wife. The Lord bless all of you. And if you want to need a copy of what I've said, then look up my website.